Praise God. Well, we're back into our book of Galatians again. Last week we got into the third chapter. We're looking into the last time we met together. I shouldn't say last week. We didn't have it the week before. And we were in the third chapter. We went through the first five verses of that chapter. I'm going to read through there just to remind us again some things that we were on, and then we'll go ahead from there. In Galatians, the third chapter, we had read where Paul said to them, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" So he asked them a question. He's asking them questions here. How did you get the Spirit? Did you do it through the works of the law? He said, the hearing of faith. He said, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you're now going to be made perfect by the flesh." He said, "Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" How's it go? You know, it is amazing, and we've talked about this before. It seems that it is so easy for people start off by faith with Christ. And the next thing, they're trying to, by works, you know, if we just do everything right, then God will move and God will do stuff. Yet when they got saved, all that God did and changed so many things. I mean, think about the fact that just by faith, you were born again. You were made a child of God. I mean, literally, this is not figurative. It's literal. The fact, you know, there's nothing more incredible really than the new birth. You want to talk about something miraculous? The new birth is absolutely an absolute miracle that you became a new spiritual being. A being that never existed before. Now, we have a spirit and we also have a soul, and most people live by their soul. Most people will live in their past most of their life, even if they get born again. They'll live out of their soul, and they'll live off the thoughts of their soul or their past. Most people don't ever live, most Christians never live like they're a new creation. Really, that's the way is Paul speaking this people. Look, why would you think the way that you're thinking? Because it seems to be that's the human nature. The human side is always, you know, on the sides of performance. Of we perform these certain things and then we'll have this. It is hard for people. I'm not quite sure why, but it just seems to me over the years. I mean, I've been around this thing for Christianity for a long enough time. Watching, I'm always an observer about people and what they do. And people generally go to the side of works. That's where they go to. That's where they flow to. And it's a place of condemnation. Because what happens is nobody's perfect in works. And nobody is perfect in what they do. And we have limitations because of the knowledge we have. So we end up thinking that God can't do things for us because we can't meet this certain standard, so God can't do it. Because, you know, generally in society, everything's based upon that. Do you know, did you ever think about this? Because as we go on here in teaching, do you ever think that most people never keep their promises? They will always end up, when somebody doesn't do something that they want, they'll say, you didn't do this, so I'm not going to do that for you. But yet when they told them they were going to do that for them, they never had any catches or any things in it. I see people do it with their kids all the time. Say, okay, we're going to go do this or we're going to do that. And the kids get bad, they say, we're not going to do that now. Hold it. You told your kids you were going to go do it. If you had catches or any things on there, you should have stated what they were. And you need to understand this, because if you think and operate that way, you'll never be able to walk by faith. Because we're going to look at Abraham. Abraham was a man that God made promise, and he fulfilled the promises without the law. He didn't make them fulfill the law so he would carry out the promises. He did it on the basis of promise. Our covenant's on the basis of promise. God's going to fulfill it. I mean, you just take the Jew. The Bible talking about the end times and Jews, that God, it talks about that God's going to spare a remnant of Israel. And you know what he said, how he's going to do it? He said, I'm going to do it for my name's sake. I ain't going to do it because they're doing right. They'd never get saved. He could never keep the promise. If he depended on them to do everything right, it was never going to happen. Understand, you didn't get born again because you did everything right. You didn't do nothing right. You had nothing to offer God. Nothing. It was promise made. And the only restriction of promise that he gave that you do is you believe on Jesus Christ and you would be saved. That's it. You experience a new birth based on a promise of God without any works. You had performed nothing to earn it. Nothing. Yet God carries out the promise. See, we know very little about keeping promise of things. Americans and we're not covenant people. There's no such thing as covenants really in our society. We don't have covenants. We make contracts of things, but those can be broken. You just don't have to do it. But we know very little about covenant. Covenant's an interesting thing, because if you study about covenants, covenants were made between people, and the arrangements were set in those covenants for certain things. And it didn't matter if somebody didn't like it or like what somebody did. If they were operating within the covenant, you had to keep your promise. And if you didn't keep your promise, you'd be put to death. But it wasn't based upon whether you like a person did something you like or not. There was arrangements made that were based in covenant. And if you were in that covenant, you were taken care of. Think about this. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth. They have a guy who's living with his dad's wife, or in other words, it wasn't his mother, but his dad must have married somebody else. But he ran up, took her from him and was living with her. The church had to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. He couldn't just... Why? Because he's in a covenant. And in the covenant, it required them to do that, or Satan couldn't destroy or take his life without them doing it. Yet he's in lousy sin. In fact, Paul said the sin... He said, the world ain't even doing what you're doing. The world thinks it's wrong, and you're doing it. Yet they had to turn him over to Satan for that to happen. Why? He's under a covenant. He has to be removed from the protection of the covenant, or the covenant just keeps taking care of it. Amazing. See, we know very little about how God views in faith and what God does, because it's amazing what God will do, and people are in error. Because there's some people have understood how to stand on promise. Others don't. Most people, the idea of walking in faith means I have to perform such and such and such and such and such, and then God will answer my prayer. That's why people say, God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you. That's why people do that, because that's what people think about faith in God. They don't understand what faith is. Most people will always approach God on the basis of works, on they've done, how well they've done, or whether they even can feel they can ask God. It's based upon works. These people have come along here and Paul's asking them the question. Okay, you received the Spirit. How did you get it? What work did you perform that you earned that one? Nothing. I mean, in the book of Acts, we find the Spirit poured out, just like in Samaria. You know, they got saved and everything. The disciples went down there. They didn't meet some criteria. He said they just haven't received the Spirit yet, so they went down there to make sure they did. They got born again. They didn't have to earn. I don't know how many times I've heard Spirit-filled ministers say this, and people, and that's they minister to people, and people will say to them, I'm just not ready to be filled with the Spirit. They don't stop and say, well, yeah, when you're ready. Always trying to, I mean, it's so stupid. It's ignorance going to seed, ministers. I always tell a person, you don't have to do nothing to get ready. Baptism of the Holy Spirit goes with salvation. You're supposed to take it ready or not. You don't have to do nothing. You'll never be any more ready than you are today. You're no more ready. I mean, you got born again, it's qualification time. I mean, that's it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, the church don't do it. The church goes off into all this other stuff. And all it does is, now that person will live their entire life off. If they fall for that, they'll live their entire... See, anything, I got to get ready to get anything from God. You know, then they want healing. They got to get ready for it. And then they wait 10 years, they'll stay sick for 10 years till they feel that they get ready for it. And that's the way it operates. I mean, it's the work syndrome. If we can only break the church of that, but we're going to have to probably shoot many ministers to get so they don't quit saying this dumb stuff to people. And, you know, where people learn to operate by faith. This is the way I've always believed. If God will not do things for me till I can perform to a certain level, then when I get there, I don't need him. If I can arrive there, what on earth do I need him for? The whole thing is we need him. We need the grace of God working for us. We need stuff from God to arrive. And that's what faith's about. I mean, faith is about responding to God through faith, and he does for us what we can't do. And so what good would grace be if I have to reach an epitome to get it? You know, when you're told you're in sin, you come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. I mean, the whole point is, if you messed up, God says, just come and get the grace. You done messed up, and he says, come and get the grace. Wow, so you don't mess up all the time, you know. But the whole point of the church has the idea is you straighten out your life, and then God will do it. I mean, when I got born again, I'll never forget one of the things that I had. I mean, as an alcoholic, I mean, I just had no vision whatsoever that I could see myself sober. I just could not see myself. I couldn't drink. I just couldn't see it. It was beyond me. And I remember I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, if I have to quit drinking to get saved, I said, I'll never get saved. And I'll never forget this. I was a sinner. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, who ever told you that? He said, you'll find nothing like that in my word. He was mad. He's mad at all these people and all these preachers and all this stupidity and all this dumb stuff people are told. He said, you won't find that any place in my word. I didn't need to get cleaned up. He needed to clean me up. See, that was based on promise. It wasn't works. I didn't have to perform the law thing, so I was ready to get something from God. He already had provided. So these people were dealing with this. This is why this is such a terrible thing, because you will never have, just this group of people, they came along and Ahaz said to them, look, yeah, you got saved, you accept Jesus, but you got to get circumcised, you know, to make this thing work, because it ain't going to work if you don't get circumcised. I will guarantee you this. I have never seen it at any time in my years as being a Christian that when somebody puts something out there or works that you got to perform that is going to make your salvation complete, that they don't add and add and add and add. Because you do that, they got another one. Then you do that, they got another one. And it just goes on. And after a while, nobody's walking by faith. You're all trying to perform these things, trying to get God like, trying to respond. And after a while, everybody thinks God don't like them. Everybody's a point. Why? Because you get to the point, there's things you can't do and you're not good at. And they'll always tell you you need to be able to do it good because that's the thing they're good at. They never pick up things that they're not good at. They'll always have you do what they're good at. And they're just full of their own good works and their own good ideas, and it's all their self-performance. And they're always demanding it of everybody else, because it's exactly what Paul then deals with these people at, about the people who were doing it to them. They were only doing it for their own benefit. It's never for the benefit. The works, the legalistic works are never done for your benefit to help you. It's always to do it for these religious folks. So they feel comfortable. So they're happy. It's always for them. Hallelujah. Jesus died for you, folks. He died for your benefit. He went to the cross and was raised from the dead for your benefit. He gave you the Holy Ghost for your benefit. He did all these things for your benefit. It wasn't for his. He was doing just fine. It was for our benefit is why he did it. Legalism never does that. It's always for the benefit of who's ever running the show. That's whoever wants to dominate over you, it's for their benefit. And I paraphrase read the last time of the thing that I did of those scriptures. I just sort of condensed what Paul said. He said, oh, stupid Galatians, who hypnotized and so easily misled you from following the truth in which Jesus Christ was revealed miraculously to you by the Holy Spirit as crucified? If you were born again by faith in Jesus Christ, why would you be so stupid to think that you would be made mature by the works of the flesh? Just in our language, that's what he's saying to them. Why would you even go there? Why would we go there? So I say, let's not go there. Let's don't go there. Don't complicate what, you know, or write in what isn't said. Don't add something to this. I've had this happen so many times alone, where people turn around and really, I think many times people think the Bible's too good. because they'll say, yeah, it says that, but now you got to understand this. And they'll just, add something to it. And we don't want to add anything to this. Now, we want to look at something that's very interesting that Paul begins to talk about here, adding to this. Because this would really be a throw to a lot of people, and especially considering the Jews. Because remember, these were Jews who came to the Gentiles, told them that they had to be circumcised to be saved. Now, the Apostle Paul goes on in Galatians 3 and verse 6 and says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So in other words, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Now remember, we talked about our righteousness being by faith. So Abraham believed God. His believing God is why he was righteous. God told him to go to the land. He went to the land. God told him that his wife, Sarah, who was barren, could not have children, told him that he would have a child through her. He believed. She conceived a child based completely on the promise of God. There was really, it was miraculous what took place. She didn't go down to the clinic to, you know, be fertilized or whatever and all that stuff. They operated in faith. They believed God because why? That was righteousness. In other words, God, and so understand, God gave promise to Abraham. He told him if he'd go to the land, he'd bless him there. He made a promise to him. He didn't say, if you go to the land there and do everything right. We know this. Abraham didn't do everything right. Did God not bless him? God blessed him. God didn't say, if you go over the land and you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that, then I'll bless you over in that land. God said, you go there, I'll bless you there. He got over there. Now, he was a man who, he learned to trust God. When God would talk to him, he learned about God and blessings. So if God promised something, he moved right into it. Now just think, for 25 years he stood believing for this child. In other words, God gave him a promise. Now, we're going to read on as we read through here. In this promise, Abraham produced another child, but he produced a child which was of the flesh, which caused him a lot of problems. To this day, it's causing a lot of problems. Producing those children of the flesh. Oh my God. We've all done that. We produce things in the flesh we wish we'd have never done. But we do that. And this is why he's walking over in the areas of promise. But he followed promise. Now promise, and understand this. The promise was made for a child. Isaac was the promised child. He was the child that was produced by faith. He was not produced like any human can go generally and have sex with another, he could go into another woman and just because she could produce, she produced. Why? Any sinner can do that. This required promise. Now think about this. God picked Abraham knowing his wife could not produce. Because he wanted this man to walk by faith. Why? Because he can bless the guy that walked by faith. Why? Without faith, you can't please God. God never changes. Understand this. He has never changed from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. It's just believers are always changing. It is never God. He's operated always the same way. He took a man who had wealth and said, I'm going to send you out here in a land, and what are you going to go over there and live in tents? This man's going to go walk over there by faith. He's going to this place. He's always requiring of him of something that is naturally doesn't look like it can do. But he said, I'm going to bless you there. He gets the man to walk by faith and go over to the land. He goes over to the land. He says, this woman of yours, she's an old lady now. Now, but she's going to have a child. This out of this child is going to come a multitude of nations is going to come out of this child. And he said, I'm going to bless all the nations in the earth through that child. Well, this woman can't produce. She's old. And she's old on top of it. And God wants him to stand in faith. Why? Because this is what pleases God. God will always move us to walk by faith. Always. This is the great problem. Most people, you know, and especially our American society, we always have at least 10 other choices of things that we can do naturally about things, and most people pick that all the time. Because whatever seems like, well, why would I do that or do it that way? Because that doesn't make sense. And God's sitting right in the middle of it saying, yep. Yep. That's why. We're going to go this way. People just don't like it. Abraham believed God. He was considered righteous on the basis of faith. Remember this. Your righteousness can never stand on the fact of what you can perform. Never. It's always based on faith in God. Always is. You can never approach God on the basis of your works because that's unrighteous. Your performance. I don't care how well you perform in fulfilling what God would desire you to do, that is no basis for you to go to God and say, wow, you know, I did this and you owe me something. It's never going to work that way. It's never going to work that way. It's always on the basis you're righteous is because of your belief, not because of what you've done. And understand this, your righteousness isn't based because what you've done was wrong. You're still the righteousness of God because you're born again. So all you do is say, well, yeah, I blew that one. Let's walk in faith. Now let's do this right. And the reason you can is because you are righteous. You're not going to become righteous. You are righteous. See, most people are trying, their righteousness is based on their performance. And if you do that, you're going to have a relationship with God. It's going to always be sort of like the roller coaster. You know, you don't have the little hills. You'll always have the big hills up and down, because what you'll do is when your performance is good, you'll have, oh, I could be in faith. And when things weren't as right, then you can't. Let me just tell you this. When the big problems come, when you're down here, that's when you need the faith thing. When you're up on the mountain. You're not doing the faith thing. It's when you're down here. When you hit the bottom, that's when you need the faith. And usually that's when people can't go there, because what have they done? My performance wasn't good, so therefore I'm having trouble believing God, you know, and that stuff. And that's why I need a prayer chain. I need somebody else to ask God for me, because I can't. And see, it's not understanding righteousness. And when people don't understand that, Abraham believed God, was accounted to him as righteous. His righteousness was based upon just on faith alone. That's what it is. And in other words, his approach to God was totally on that thing. Verse 7 says, therefore, know that only those... Now listen, therefore, know. Now you're supposed to know this. Yet I will tell you this, the majority of the church does not know it. Majority of faith people don't even know this. That only those who are faith are sons of Abraham. Understand this. Paul just wrote something here, and he's writing these Gentiles and telling them about these Jews coming. Because see, that's the whole thing these Jews do. And I have seen it in the time that I've lived. The Jews will come along and act like Jewish Christians, like, well, see, we got something special with God that you don't have. No, you don't. It's only by faith you can become a child of Abraham. A Jew who is not born again is not a child of Abraham. He is not. Paul just said so. The only way to become a son of Abraham is to be born again, or is to believe. It's through faith. There's only one way to do it. There is no other way to do it. The majority of Jews in the earth today are not sons of Abraham in God's eyes, because they're not people of faith. Because what faith is he talking about in writing? He's talking about faith in Jesus Christ. They don't have faith in Jesus Christ because Abraham was a man of faith in God. And we're going to find out what he was believing in. We'll find this out. What was he believing in? Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Verse 8, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Listen. Preach the gospel to Abraham before, saying, in you all the nations will be blessed. God preached the gospel. He told Abraham about the Messiah. He knew about Abraham's faith. His faith was set on the one to come. His faith was looking forward. Our faith looks backwards to what's already took place. Hallelujah. We're on the good side of it. But he believed God. His faith, he believed what God said concerning the Messiah. He believed those things. The gospel was, it says the gospel was preached to him. Now just think about it. The gospel was preached to Abraham. The gospel didn't just get preached in our day. There's others who God preached the gospel to in the old covenant, who they knew the Messiah. They understood what God was going to do. God showed it to them. And so here we have the gospel was preached to Abraham, that all the nations would be blessed through him. So God was going to justify the Gentiles by faith. And so he preached the gospel, the good news to Abraham. Abraham saw what was going to take place, that the gospel, that the Gentiles, that everybody was going to come into the kingdom. He saw it. He saw that and believed God. He believed what God showed him. So all the nations were going to be blessed. Now all the nations were going to be blessed. Understand this. All the nations are going to be blessed because of God's promise, not because of man's works. If a man would believe God's promise, then therefore God could bless all the nations of the earth. He could do that because a person believed, so God could carry out his promise. So understand that. It was always based on the fact, the promise. There's always the promise that is, but God gave the promise. He believed the promise, so God did what he had promised because he believed that. It's just like today. The promises of God, says the scriptures, the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. They're yes and amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. So whatever believes, that promise is carried out on the basis of faith, not on the basis of works. Always on it. Just like with here. The nations being blessed, Abraham believes God, so God can bless the nations. Because he believed God. It's awesome. I mean, when you think about this, and this is why getting over in the areas, this is why is believing what the scripture says, believing what the Bible says. You know, it's just like with people, when people come to God concerning the areas of healing. It's one of the things I learned. When people look or trying to get God to heal them, when the scripture says, you know, by his stripes you were healed, and still in believing the promise that he already took care of my healing, people are still trying to go like he hasn't done it yet, and we're trying to go get it. And it's like I tell you guys, there's no way that you could pray Mark 11:24 if God hasn't already given it to you. You couldn't pray that prayer by faith. It would be an impossibility. You can't pray that prayer if God hasn't already said yes to it. If he hasn't said yes to what it is, how could you believe you received something he ain't given yet? You couldn't believe you received it. He hadn't given it. We believe or receive it because he promised already. It was carried out. Jesus already took the sin of man. I mean, that's done. That's why to tell a sinner, like, he got to try to get God to forgive him is the stupidest thing in the world. Because there's no faith in that. You don't believe in a thing. When we tell the people the truth, that, you know, God already took care of the sin issue. What you got to do is receive Jesus. That's all he said. You believe on him, you can be saved. That's how you get saved. You don't get saved asking Jesus to forgive your sin. Because that would be asking Jesus to forgive me a sin, saying, you didn't go to the cross, you didn't die, you weren't raised from the dead. You got to go do that for me now. And see, this is why it's promised, like Abraham. Abraham believed the promise of God. He went to the land, God blessed him. Why? Because it says his righteousness is by faith. He believed what God said, and God did it for him. God did it. So it's always the same way. It always goes the same way. Abraham had the gospel, the same gospel. He believed looking ahead to the Messiah. Just the fact that we look looking back at what the Messiah did. Hallelujah, we're on the good side of it. It's already taken place. Now in Galatians 3:9 says, so then those who are faith are blessed with believing Abraham. In other words, the blessing of Abraham is still running and in existence today. Why? Because it was promise. Promise? When God promises, if I am a son of Abraham, how could I have something less than he, than Abraham has? Now you're a son of Abraham. Are you in his inheritance? You're his son. The blessing that God promised and promised to his heritage belongs to everybody who believes. It does not belong to anybody just because they're a physically born into a family. Jews are not blessed. The Jews who have not accepted Jesus Christ are living under a curse. The Bible says so. They're a curse. Why? They're living under the law. The law is a curse. The blessing comes through faith. And so we have been made just through faith. We found out Abraham believed God was counted to him as righteousness. We respond. We became sons of Abraham. Anybody who believes becomes a son of Abraham. So all of us are sons of Abraham. We've been made, and when the Bible talks in these terms here, it's not talking about male or female or anything. Anybody who believes becomes a son of Abraham. because we'll find out in here, it does talk about the fact that, you know, there's neither male nor female. It goes into those things. Those things don't, in a spirit, that does not exist. We're children of God, and we got it by faith alone. And now you're blessed with Abraham. Just as Abraham was blessed, Abraham entered the land, and in that land, there was no curse on him, there was only blessing. When you got born again, you entered a spiritual land where there is no curse. It is only blessing. There's no curse in the land. There's no curse. We entered a spiritual land that is a land of blessing, just like he did. He was in a land, other people are having a hard time, other people, things ain't going good. Abraham is blessed. Abraham, he went down there to Egypt. He went down there, and the guy wanted to, Pharaoh wanted to take his wife. Abraham left a whole lot richer than he went down there. Why? Because wherever the man went, he was blessed. He wasn't in the land of curse. See, this is a picture for us. See, the spiritual land that we entered when we got born again, we entered into a land of blessing. We entered into a land where prosperity's already been given to us, healing's already been given to us, sound mind's already been given to us. All these things have been given. They're all part of the promise. That's all part of the promise that God had already promised. And by faith, we can walk in them, but you can't walk in them by works. Most people, they want to earn it. They want to go, and I'll do all these good things, and God will bless me. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. We want to do good things, but I'm going to tell you what, you can't drag your good works before God and expect anything of that. I'm going to tell you what, it's a stench to Him. Most Christians are stenches to God because they're always trying to come based on how good they are, or what they've done, or how much they need something. I don't care how much you need healing, that ain't getting you nothing. I don't care if you feel, God got us, God got to do something. That don't mean God's going to do a thing for you. By faith, He'll do whatever you want. If you respond by faith, you can have it. Everybody wants to do the performance thing. That's, what I earn or what I should have or shouldn't have or whatever. So those who are of faith are blessed with what? Believing Abraham. So if Abraham received the blessing, which we found out was based totally on the fact of his faith, he was made righteous by faith, just like the Bible tells us. We have the righteousness of God. Abraham's faith was accounted to him as righteousness. Ours is actually the righteousness of God. You stand in a greater righteousness than Abraham did. You have the righteousness of God. Yours is better than Abraham. Shouldn't our faith produce something greater? It should. It should produce something greater. Galatians 3:10 says, now listen, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, I want you to think this. Everything is written in the book. Let me ask you this. How long has it been since any of the Jews have been sacrificing? They're under a curse. They aren't fulfilling the law. They're under a curse. They're not being. This is one that you can't fulfill part of the law. You've got to fulfill it all. You've got to do it all. You've got to do everything. Well, we know this. You can't do that. You'll never be perfect doing the law. But yet, people are always trying to do the law. You're under a curse. That's why you don't want to go back under legal. You go under legalism, you're under a curse. Legalism is a curse. There's no blessing to it. There's no blessing to it at all. Because the law is not based on promise. It's based on works. It is based on works. Look at this. It is just, it is very clear, the law. You can't get any clearer than this. Here's the law. Here's for the blessing and the curse, it says. Now it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 28, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all the commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. How do you get blessed under the law? You got to do all that God has commanded, everything that He's commanded, you got to go. You got to do. Now listen, here's verse 15. That was the first verse. Well, it goes to list what the blessings. Now listen to this. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You got to keep everything. This is why you don't want to go to legalism. This is why Paul's trying to tell these people. These are Christians who have moved under the curse. In other words, the devil is going to have access to their lives to curse them. He's going to have access. Why? Because they've decided, we're going to go over legalism. These guys come along and say, oh, you got to be circumcised. You know, you got to do this, you got to do that. And they're going along and playing the game. You got to go over and do the law. You got to do the whole thing. The law has a curse. You don't want to go to the law. You don't want to go to that place. It ain't no fun over there. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Justification, or actually can be translated righteousness. Righteousness before God is only in one way, and that's faith. It's not by performance. It's not by going under and following all the legalism. It is not done in that manner. So you got to walk in line with faith. You know, the Bible talks about and teaches about the law of faith. There's a law of faith. It's how faith works. Most people want to follow under the legalism, under the law. Legalism stuff of, you know, whatever it is that people are doing, legalistic following things. You know, looking under, well, if you do this, you don't do that. You do this, God will bless you. You do that, and going in through all these things. This is why living by the life of faith. You know, I don't know how people think that if they get under the law that it is going to make them more spiritual. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I can't, because you can't do that. You don't get more spiritual by doing the law. I mean, it's an impossibility. You can't do that. And yet, I mean, we can look at the nation of Israel. Has it worked out for them trying to follow law? Has it worked out? I mean, we should be able to see. I mean, people don't even observe to look at it. But is the idea is we come over by faith, because see, faith is based upon promise, it's not based on performance. It's based on promise. What God has promised. This is why, you know, and I always tell people, you know, Brother Hagin used to talk about the fact, and he was right. He said, a person who doesn't keep their word, he said their faith will never be any good. Their faith won't work. You have to learn to keep your word. Because promise, when you promise to do something or say you're going to do something, you're giving a promise to something. You don't back out on what you said you'll do. You don't do that. You carry it out. Why? Because that's the way God is. It's number one. If you don't keep promises, I will guarantee you this. You'll think nobody else around you will, and you'll think God won't either. And you're never going to be a person of faith because you can't trust God. You think everybody's like you are. If you don't keep your word, I've never ran into people who have faith that really works in anything. People don't keep the word. It never works. Because they don't know the value of word. To them, their words don't mean anything. And when they read the Bible, it sounds wonderful. They'll say all this stuff. But they really don't believe the stuff's going to work. They don't believe it's going to work. They don't believe in promise. See, it's one thing as I learned over time is how the importance of words, the importance of the things that we say in saying the right thing. There's a justification that we have, and that's by faith alone. It says it's evident. Justification by the law in the sight of God's evident that you can't be just. It's evident that the law does not, it don't work. It never justifies a person. It never does it. It says it's evident. In other words, what is evident is something that actually can be seen. We have evidence. You know, you go to court of law and they want to have evidence. It's something that can be seen, something that they, you know, tangible. God said it's just a downright obvious thing that the law isn't justifying anybody. It's not working. It was never given for that purpose. It was never given to justify man. It was never done for that purpose. Now, In fact, it's the fact that he says, he said, the just shall live by faith. You know, the word shall there is used of purpose. It means certainty or compulsion or necessity. You know, it's of certainty we ought to live by faith. And definitely it's of a necessity. It's necessary. The kingdom of God, understand this, in God's kingdom, it is necessary. It is necessary to live by faith. One of the most, the biggest thing is going to be, it is going to totally astound people when Jesus Christ returns and who don't go. Loads of people are religious, but are not people of faith. They've never been born again. There's loads of people who have just, what they've done is they've just come over into, a religious, believing of certain things and that stuff. But they've never operate by faith. There's loads of people. Loads of people with religious spirits. Do all kind of religious nice stuff. But they ain't of God. Wouldn't it be, why is it so, I don't think, especially among the spirit-filled people, I don't understand them, especially people who listen to Kenneth Hagin's teaching. Jesus sent Kenneth Hagin into the earth specifically, had him here. His whole purpose and his anointing was to teach people faith so they would be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what, if people ain't of faith, they ain't going. I don't get where people think is, why would we need to get ready for anything if everybody's okay out here? What on earth? What kind of nonsense are we living in this earth? There's loads of people who I remember, it's really the churches I grew up in, they used to talk about being converted. And you know what? They had conversion. They didn't have new birth. They had conversion. Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth Hagin, told him, he said, the church has more conversions than they do salvations. The majority of the church in America is not saved. We call saved, and they're not. The majority of them just became converted. They converted from one way of life to another way of life, but they never got born into this new life. That's why people can't live it. You can't live this thing out except by faith. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way to do it. You can't live it out. God can't bless you. You don't have God's grace if you just got converted. You never got the grace of God. That only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And many people, they just converted. They going over to a nice thing. We don't get converted. We need birth. Amen. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, what's that? I don't get it. He said, you're a ruler of Israel. You don't understand these things? What would he say to the church today? But Jesus told Kenneth Hagin that, he told him, he said, the church has mostly conversions today. Doesn't have a lot of births. It's conversions. I won't believe Jesus on it. I don't care what the rest of them say. I won't believe Jesus on it. But God sent Kenneth Hagin. The whole thing is dealing with the areas of faith, of getting the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. He sends him to teach faith. Isn't that an incredible thing? And this is why most of the stiff-necked church wouldn't listen to Kenneth Hagin, because they thought they knew what faith was. Didn't know a thing about it. Knew nothing about it. Bunch of stiff-necked people sitting around. Today they use the word faith and they ain't got a clue what it's even about. They don't even know what it's about. And, it's just some mental thing. And people don't have a clue. Now, hallelujah, I'm done meddling there on that, but we need to talk about these things. Yet the law's not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. The law's not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Dear Lord, don't go there. The law's not of faith. Don't go there. Why? Because there's no justification under it. And the only way you can be justified is you got to do it all. Some years back, the Lord spoke to me one time, it was about the curse of the law. Because I had been doing some study over in the areas and concerning things with the blessing and the curse and looking at those things. And the Lord said to me, you know what the curse of the law is? And I said, well, Lord, I've heard them say, the curse of the law is separation from God through sin and all that kind of stuff. Sickness and disease and poverty and all these things are all under the curse. They are. And he sort of, yeah, well, that's, you know, sort of is. But he said, the curse of the law is this. You can't keep it. That's the curse. He said, you can't. God never expected Israel to keep the law. He never expected it. But you know what? They, instead of understanding you couldn't keep it, they kept trying to act like you could keep it and never miss the whole teaching of God is God wanted them to respond by faith. That they would know that they needed something more than the law. And they never got that. They always thought the law was enough. Sad to say, most of the church world today, the law and good works, you know. I've seen this so many times, you know, people, well, you know, yeah, they're a Christian. They're a good person. What they just said to you, their works is going to get them to heaven. Do you know, now I remember years ago, you don't hear much about today, and even Christians don't even tell jokes about heaven because I don't know many Christians believe it is heaven's there anyhow. But they used to always talk about you go to St. Peter's Gate, and they'll always have the jokes about, you know, trying to get into heaven. Do you know where that stuff comes from? That came from the church because most of the Christians believe you get into heaven by works. So they always made the jokes about that. Unsaved people ain't even going to the gate. Unsaved people go directly to hell. They don't go to heaven to see if they can get in, if their works are good enough. If you're not born again, you ain't going there. If you're not walking by faith, you're not going there. I don't care if you one time 50 years ago accepted Jesus. You best be walking by faith today. Your faith better be about that today, not in something else. If you don't walk and live in something, after a while you won't believe in it. You'll believe in something else. This is a walk you want to stay over in the faith thing because all of it's based in that. The promise of God is based in faith. It's not based on once did. It's not based on once did. It's based on faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God, we're in faith. So we're all right, ain't got a thing to worry about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now listen, this is wonderful because Galatians 3:13, a wonderful scripture. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from it. He has redeemed us from it. If I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, then therefore, it isn't. If you obey everything I say and do it all, then I'll bless you. And if you don't, you're done. He's redeemed the church. The church has been redeemed. It is not going to be redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm not going to be redeemed from sickness. I don't have to try to get God to heal me. I'm not going to try to be redeemed from poverty. That's already taken place. That's a done deal. That's already finished. The curse, and go over and read. You know, there's I forget how many verses, I think it runs up to 14. So that would be, actually 13 verses say what the blessing are, and there's something like 60 other ones that tell you what the curse is. But I want you to understand this. Go over and read what the curse is, what you're redeemed from. Glory to God. Those are all the things that you're redeemed from, which the church accepts today and thinks God does it to them. All of those things. Majority of the church today, a good 95% of the church does not believe they're redeemed from the curse of the law. They don't believe it. Because they'll tell you God kills people for, you know, just because he wants to do something and he needs somebody or something. They say all kind of crazy things. Why? They don't believe they're redeemed from the curse of the law. God has a person poor for a reason. God has this. God has that. They go off these things that are cursed and they say that God is using the curse. God needs the curse to make you mature. God needs the curse to mature you. That's the basic belief of the church today. God uses the curse to teach you. Last time I found out was the Holy Ghost was my teacher. I done read it. The Holy Ghost is your teacher, not the church. Now, we've all learned some things by us getting out of line. And things happened to us we didn't want to happen. And we may have learned from it, but I want you to understand this. That wasn't God's plan. Thank God if, you know, we do something and a rock falls and hits us on the head, we're smart enough not to go back to the place where the rock fell and hit us on the head again. If you learned from it, good. But that's not the way you teach. You don't teach through failure. I was reading an article about a professor in college. He was doing this. He tried to teach people by failure. He would never, he said that no one could earn an A in his class. You couldn't. He would never give anybody an A. And most people went to his class, didn't do very well. His whole intent was, well, you know, you're never going to reach the place that I want you to go. Well, what would you ever want him for a teacher for? You can never reach where you need to go. He didn't realize he was a moron, an idiot. And the fact that the college supported him, they were as dumb as the day is long. That's why colleges, they are full of idiots, and they're all at the top running the thing. Getting crazy. Crazy stuff going on. And it's at the top. But, so God's not doing that to you. I just want you to understand that. God's not doing that to you. God's not the one out here. He's not using the curse to teach you anything. It's not what's up. He redeems you from it. Why would he redeem you from it and then use it? If he's using it, then you're not redeemed from it. The whole thing that people and Christians get under the curse is because they leave faith and go back under, just like the Galatians. The Galatians are going back under the place of the curse. They're not going to live by faith. Oh, we're going to go over here and live by the law. We're going to do all these new things by the law. And we're going to go out and follow the law, and then we'll be blessed. But they didn't. They should have just read what the law said. Now you got to do all this stuff, and you got to do these whole things, and now we got to, and so their salvation now is, if I keep all this stuff, then I'll be all right with God. Thank God we don't have to do that. Oh my God. Thank God we don't have to do that. Gee. I wouldn't want to go back and live in their town. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be with them. You know, we look all the trouble Moses had with that group. Gee, do we need that? I don't need any serpents bite me. I just I don't need plagues. I don't. Thank you, but we'll turn those down. But we're redeemed. But being redeemed, just it denotes the fact that, especially of someone who's purchased like a slave would have been purchased, in the view of their freedom. In other words, we have been made free from that curse. We are free from it. We were purchased by God. The whole idea is a person's redeemed was redeemed from, we were redeemed from something, or we were taken out of it. In other words, the curse that was on us, we've been removed from that, and now we have the blessing. That's what we have. So don't go back, you've been redeemed from it. So in other words, before you and I got saved, we were in it. And now you are redeemed from it. You're taken out of it. You're taken out of it. Understand this, by birth. By birth. You were born again. You had the nature of the curse. Sin. You had the sin nature. And that was under a curse. Now you've been removed from that or taken from that through redemption by birth. Now you're a son of Abraham. Now you're in a covenant of promise. You're not in a covenant of law. Quit trying to live under law. If I do this, I do that, I do this, God will bless me. No, God has blessed me. If I'm going to do good, I do it because I am blessed, not trying to get blessed. That's a hard road to hoe to try to get over there. I'm going to do all these things to get blessed. That's why a lot of people don't follow God, because that's all they've been taught, it's religion. If you want to follow God, you got to know how good he is. If you find out how good he is, in other words, he has put the blessing. We do good because we're blessed. You know, when I found out, you know, that just like the standpoint, you know, that God blessed me financially, and I started giving on the basis I believe I'm blessed. I'm not trying to give to get blessed. See, most ministers and most of them that teach faith and giving, they keep telling us you got to get money to get blessed. I give money because I am blessed. I was given money because I believed I was blessed, for I had two nickels to rub together. I believed I was redeemed from poverty, and I didn't wait around for somebody to tell me, oh, you arrived to a point where you can give and do stuff. I started giving like I had money. Amen. That's why people try. It's got this nutty stuff out here, and it's all legalism. Ain't nothing but a bunch of legalism going on. You got to give to get blessed. Too late. I'm already blessed. Bible tells me I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Dear Lord. If I've already got them all, what else am I going to get? There ain't nothing else to get. You got them all. It's like, if they just preach the truth. But I believe they believe the truth is too good. There's number one, if you can hold people in legalism, you can get stuff out of them and manipulate them. And I'm going to tell you what, we got a lot of manipulating ministers out here. They've learned how to use the manipulation. I give because I'm blessed. I'm not given trying to get blessed. It's too late. I'm already blessed. I'm living under promise. I'm not living under law. Under law, I had to give to get blessed. That's law. Malachi is law. Malachi, where God said to them, you know, you got to bring all the stores in the storehouse, then I'm going to open the winds of heaven. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for you. I'm sorry, Satan's already defeated for us. He's not going to rebuke the devourer for you. That's already been done. That's been done. He said, I'll open the wind. Heaven's windows are going to be opened if you give. That's works. That's law. That's the law. I'll do this for you if you do that. That's the law. I'm sorry. Heaven's windows have done been opened. Jesus did it. Why do I give? I give because I'm blessed. I give because I'm blessed. People don't give because they don't believe they're blessed. So they're not walking by faith. They're not living righteous. They're not living righteous. So what happens? They're under a curse. They're not walking by faith. God said, hey, live by faith. Start living like the Bible's true. I tell you what, it'll make you a happy person. I'm serious. It'll make you happy. When you find out you are blessed, you quit trying to get it. Abraham went there. God said, you go to the land, I'll bless you there. If Abraham went to land and God wouldn't have blessed him, Abraham would have had every right to tell God he's worse than the devil. He'd had every right to do it. He didn't say, if you go over there and do this, do that, then I'll bless you. He said, you just go there, I'll bless you. God was required by promise to bless him. If he didn't, if he hadn't set up any restriction, which he didn't set up no restrictions, he just said, you go there, I'll bless you. God was required by oath to bless him, or God broke an oath and he's a liar just like Satan. I've often said this many times. So many Christians died of sickness and disease and go to heaven. When they get there, find out they were healed. How terrible it is to go there and find out they were. They never received it or accepted it by faith. They were healed, but they never responded to it by faith. They were healed the whole time. But they left. See, how do I get it? I get it by faith, not by works. So I can see why God sent Kenneth Hagin to teach faith. Because, man, do we ever want the law bad? Oh, my. See, Christ didn't buy you so he could keep you under law and its curse. He didn't buy you for that standpoint. He bought you, hallelujah, so you could live in freedom. To give you freedom over sin. Now understand, sin, the whole idea is because everything of the curse came because of sin. Adam's disobedience. God had a rule. God in the garden, he didn't have a promise, he had a rule. He told them in the garden, Adam and Eve, don't eat of that tree. Only one rule. I just want you to understand this. Law never works. You don't ever go there. Because you'll miss it every time. One rule, one law, and man can't keep it. Man can't keep it. One law. One tree in the whole earth you can't have, and that's the exact one they wanted. Because the devil came, God's holding off you. He don't want you to eat that tree, brother. I'll tell you, you don't want to eat that tree. That's the one you got to eat. Okay. One law. Now, what's the chance that the Mosaic law, you're going to be able to do that whole thing? What's the chance? Two people couldn't keep one rule. This is why you ought to love faith. You ought to love the faith message. And it ought to be just, it's a wonderful, delightful thing to you. Because if you have to approach God on the basis of you doing everything right, I don't see how people can stand it. I don't see how people can take it. I just don't know how to do it. I just can't. You can't. There's no way to make that work. I just can't. Don't even try it. You just frustrate yourself. You'll just be more miserable. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:14 says, well, what's this whole place? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. being made a curse for us. So he became the curse. In other words, Christ took the curse. Understand this. If Christ did take the curse for us, he took it. He took your curse and my curse. He took it. In other words, the curse of all humanity, he took upon himself, the curse of sin. What the curse that was designed for everyone for eternity, the curse. Separation from God, you know, every evil thing you could ever think of. Jesus took the curse upon himself. When he died on that cross, he became separated from God. God put the sin of the world on him, then everything that went with that sin. Every curse that went with that sin was put upon Jesus, and Jesus went to hell and paid the price for all that entire curse. I can't imagine what the torment must have been for him in the 3 days in the earth with the entire curse of all the evil of humanity, not for one man, for all humanity. He suffered it. But he did for us. The whole point was to redeem you and I. So he took the curse. Why would I want to take it? I ain't going to pay for it anyhow. I mean, why would I want to take what's the bad thing? It's just like, you know, somebody come and paid my bills for me, but I want to pay for them anyhow. So I'm going to go take my money and pay anyhow, you know. You know what they do? They take you out to the hospital, give you drugs, and put you in a bed somewhere and lock you in a room where there's a lot of rubber. And sometimes I think that's where a lot of Christians ought to be, is locked up in a room with a lot of rubber, because they're always trying to pay. They're always trying to earn. They're always trying to do what God has already done concerning the curse. Okay, for that purpose. What did he take the curse for? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham, the promise of the Spirit. The blessing of Abraham, no curse. The promise of the Holy Spirit. That's for the church. The blessing of Abraham and the promise of the Spirit. That's the whole point that God... See, God wanted man to be born again and have the Spirit, Holy Spirit in them. That's what he wanted. He wanted men and women to be temples of God. No curse. No curse. No curse. I don't know about you, that seemed like pretty good news. Amen. Hallelujah. We inherit the promise of the Spirit, freed from the curse by faith. There is no way, there's no way that a person can be free from the curse living by the law, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. It don't matter. You can't live under the law. There'll always be curse. Because it's always, the law is always based on works. It's always based on works. And so, if I don't meet the works, well, then what happens? Oh, poor old me. I messed up. The law is a faith killer. It is a faith killer. When take a person of faith who tries to live by law, it's always a faith killer. It is. It'll always destroy your faith. It'll always make you feel unworthy. I messed up. I did wrong. When you understand faith, one of the things is, I've always over the years and heard ministers preach like on 1 John and using 1 John 1:9. You know, just ask God to forgive you your sin and all that kind of stuff. And I often realize with people what their problem is people really don't know who they are. They don't know that they're redeeming. And when God says, you know, they say he'll forgive you, there's always quite, yeah, but you don't know what I did. You don't know the things that, yes, and I have. This is why people, they get into sin, takes them 2 or 3 years to get their life straightened out before they'll finally get back with God again and walk with God. And the whole, that thing is about the curse, their whole idea of thinking about God. I got to do all these performances to God to like me. He said, just ask anybody, if you sin, he said, you just confess it. Just admit you did wrong and I'll forgive you. Now we say, you confess your sin, we always say, well, if he asked him to forgive you, it don't say that. It don't say if you ask him forgive you. It says you just admit you did it. That's all you got to do is admit you. He didn't say you had to ask him to forgive you. It don't say that. That was written by men. That's men's statements of what it says, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you just admit what you did wrong. His forgiveness is automatic. If I have to ask him to forgive me, then I'm going to have to hear a response from him, aren't I? To know that he did. I don't have to ask him. It says just admit I did wrong. And I'm forgiven. Ain't that an easy one? No, we've let people run around the whole time trying to get them chasing. Y'all ask God to forgive you. Ask God. Well, no wonder it hasn't worked. There was no anointing on it because it ain't what God said. There's no faith in it because it isn't the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. And we run out with all this stupid religious stuff telling people instead of speaking the truth. There's so much religion in the church, it's incredible. Men's ideas. Men's what men think. He said, just admit you messed up. Boy, you know, and I'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll just admit you did it. The person's been walking around all the time admitting they did it, but they're trying to get him to forgive him so they feel better. Oh, it ain't got nothing to do with nothing. It's legalism. It's law. Praise God, walk by faith. Think of the goodness of God. You just admit you did it. Admit you did it. That's it. He said, if you confess it, in other words, a confession. Okay, I did it. I did such and such. I was wrong. Okay, it's done. Lay down your head on the pillow tonight. Go to sleep by faith and just glory to God. God likes me and everything. We're just cool with each other. No, we don't have to lay there for 2 years and every time our guilty conscience bothers us. Our conscience is bothering us because we live under law. And it's not because of God or the devil. It's us and our believing and living by law keeps our conscience messed up before God. The church will keep people's conscience bad enough that they won't be able to sleep. They don't need the devil. They'll just preach up a messed up enough gospel to make you feel like God don't like you. And people will wonder if God likes them at all. It's coming back over to the truth of the Word of God. You are children of Abraham. You got to be that by faith. The blessing of Abraham's on you. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Not going to be. You have been redeemed by faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's live there and walk there. Let's live in that place. Let's live as redeemed. I was just online listening to a thing that four ministers were talking about stuff. And they were talking about they want to move with the Spirit of God and talking about good things. They were talking about, well, we're just men like everybody else. And I'm thinking, man, if people hear you, we're just like everybody else. No, we're not. We just read we're sons of Abraham, but we're not like everybody else. I'm going to tell you, the church of Jesus, the born again, there's a race of people in this earth, and they're the race of God in this earth. And they're a minority, a really small minority in a lot of ways, a very small minority of all the people in this earth. And we're not nothing like anybody else. I don't believe like 99.9% of people believe. I don't believe like them. I'm different. I walk by faith and not by sight. Boy, I tell you what, that's a minority in the church. That's a minority in the church. As most people are all living by what they see. They're all living by what they see and feel. Just like with the world, they don't live by faith. People have the tendency, they live by law. Don't go there. Live like you're redeemed. Live like God did something wonderful to you, not like you're trying to get Him to. Live like He did. Talk like He did. See, if people trying to get over and be thankful before God, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you'll have to think up things to try to be thankful to God. But if you know what God's done for you, my God, you'd be just living a life so thankful. Hallelujah. Just always thanking God for all the wonderful things He's done for you instead of trying to get it. Because I learned a long time ago, like in the area of healing, I just thank God. Thank God, hallelujah, that by your stripes I am healed. I'm so glad I'm healed. I tell you, if something tries to come on me, I just talk to God all the time about thanking Him about what He did for me. I ain't trying to ask Him to get Him to do something for me. Dear Lord, I'm not asking Him to do it for me. He said, He already redeemed me for curse of law. The blessing of Abraham's on me, the promise of the Spirit through faith, hallelujah, the same Spirit lives in me, raised Jesus from the dead, makes my body alive, dear Lord. See, you get over and get in line with the Word. It don't make no sense what people are trying to do out here. It doesn't make any sense because it doesn't line up with faith. It doesn't line up with promise. Hallelujah. Our covenant is based on promise. It is not based on law. It's based on promise. And God will always do what He promised. Always. If He said He would do it, He will do it. And that's where we got to come through to the thing. You know, one of the big things of God's been dealing with me on, you know, I was over just reading about John G. Lake. And an angel appeared to him when he was in Portland, Oregon. An angel talked to him and took him back over to... Because John G. Lake asked him about the move of God at that time that was going on. And the angel talked to him, and he asked the angel about, you know, what should the church be doing? What should it do? And the angel, he had his Bible, and the angel took his Bible and took it to the book of Acts and took it to the second chapter. And he took him to the second chapter on down through the miracles and stuff in there, and he said, this is the heart of God for the church. This is the heart of God for the church. See, Pentecost is the heart of God for the church. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the church world today doesn't even recognize Pentecost. They don't recognize. They aren't looking for miracles. They don't look at signs and wonders. They're just, you know, going along with their religious, old religious junk, just on the thing. He said this. He said, this is the only thing, he said, that will satisfy the hunger heart of man. It's the only thing that will do it. And he said, pray till you get the heart of God. And what he meant about that is, we need to hook up with God till we want it as much as He does. Till our desire is like His desire. Most of the church world right now, majority of Spirit-filled people don't really, they say they want it, but don't really. Their heart's not in to have it. They'd like to have it as long as they don't take up any of their time to hook up with God to get like Him. You got to be able to hook up with, see it like He sees it. Desire it like He desires it. When you get the heart of God, you know, it's just back years when I first got saved, I got the heart of God concerning healing. It is outside my mind to think about people. When people talk about God's making them sick for a reason, to me, they don't know nothing about the heart of God. They don't know nothing how God views people in sickness. They have no clue. Majority of Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, I'm talking about, talk about believing in healing, have no idea how God views about sickness in humanity. It's something you got to push into. You do it till you get thinking like He thinks. Till He gets that to get it in you. And that's, if we want to move of God, we got to let God get it into us. Till we see this move of God, till we desire it and want it like He wants it. And as much as He wants it. He wants this move 1,000 times more than any of us here want a move. I'm going to tell you what, the church ain't even close to wanting what He wants. The best of it ain't even close to what He wants. It's not in us. But we can get it in us. We can get it in us. And it's just seeing things right that's in the Word. When you sit down and read the Word for what it says, not what people said it says. When it tells you you're redeemed from something, well then, dear Lord, believe it. Talk to God. If you're having trouble believing it, talk to God till you get it in you, and read those scriptures and talk to God about them till you get it in you that you can see that it's true. It ain't going to just happen just doing daily readings out of the Bible. It ain't going to happen like that. It don't go that way. You get it inside of you till you see that it's true. Till you get to the point you see it like God. It's that you see that God wants you well more than you did. I'll tell you, when I got that revelation, it was one of the biggest changes in my life. When I said, my God. God talked to me about numbers of times about how He felt about people and sickness and the stuff that's going on. And man turns around in the church. The first thing that they point to is the problem. With your sickness, God, He's the one. He's the troublemaker. He's the guy that's trying to make us sick. He's doing all these things. He's doing all this stuff. Because see, God's in control of everything. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I want to know what I'm binding and loosing. I want to start to find out. Hallelujah. We need to move into some things to get a heart of God. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is revealing things from the Scriptures, and we just got to get over. Hallelujah. Step out of the religiousness. Step into the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Live like the Bible is true. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a supernatural race of people in this earth, and we're in that race. We're in that race of people. That's who we are. We're not trying to attain to it. It's what we were born to. This should be as natural to us as just like any group of people that are born into the earth in any group. It should be just as natural to us. This is what we are. Hallelujah. This is what we do. Father, I just want to thank you tonight for the life that's in the Word. Oh, hallelujah. Father God, open the eyes of our understanding. Enlighten our hearts. Hallelujah. Lord God, we want to see it, comprehend and understand, Father God, not to gain more information, but Lord God, to live this thing out. Hallelujah. Father God, we just don't want the information to be had. We want the anointing to walk and live in it. And I want to thank you, Father God. Father, I thank you that revelation is flowing in this day and time. Lord God, our eyes are seeing, Lord God, the treasures of your word. And we thank you, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, for a victorious church, a church without spot or wrinkle. That's your plan, that's your purpose. And Lord God, you're going to bring us into that place where we're just going to walk in the fullness of your glory. Hallelujah. Lord God, not just step into a trickle. Lord God, Lord, I don't want a shower. I want a river. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to go out to where the water is over my head. I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to walk along the banks of the river. I don't want to cool my feet in it. Lord God, we want to get out where the Spirit flows. Lord God, where we drowned in it, and it's no longer us, but it's you. Hallelujah. Lord God, that's all that's left. We're just dead men. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. We're going there. We're walking there. Lord God, you're opening up our eyes of our understanding. You're letting us see. And I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. It's not in vain. We're going to live and walk in this glory that you prepared for us before the foundation of the world. When Jesus Christ returns, hallelujah. Lord God, it's going to be no surprise to us. Lord God, we're going to be ready. Hallelujah. Ready to go. Glory to God. Father God, walking in glory. Not walking in doom and gloom. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.